Very frightening parak. This parak appears to refer to the Churban Bayis Sheni. In the previous parak, it was more cheerful, a cheerful discussion of what's going to be in the days of Mashiach, and the parallel to Mashiach was the building of the Bayis Sheni. Hashem was telling Derech Pshat, if you want to go look at the Pesukim based on the timeline of history. So then the Pasuk was talking about building the Bayis Sheni. And then if you want to extrapolate and use that as a mashal, a prototype for Yemos HaMashiach, so the Mefarshim says it refers to the times of Mashiach. But this parak appears to be going back to the timeline of history and is telling Klal Yisrael, it's a prophecy that the Bayis Sheni will not last. Why would Yeshaya want to tell Klal Yisrael such bad news, and it doesn't have to happen. It didn't have to happen. Okay, that's a big question. But in any event, more or less, he is giving over a prophecy of what we know to be in hindsight. In hindsight, we know that this refers to the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. A lot of the stuff in Tisha B'Av. A lot of the messages and the keynotes on Tisha B'Av can be drawn from this parak. Tisha B'Av, there's a big topic of discussion. Tisha B'Av, what exactly are we mourning for? Are we mourning for the Churban Bayis Rishon, or are we mourning for the Churban Bayis Sheni? When you study the keynotes, you get mixed signals. Some of the keynotes seem to focus on the Bayis Rishon, and some of the keynotes seem to focus on the Bayis Sheni. So on a very simple level, you'll say both, no, elu v'elu. When we have it both, it's a hashkacha that the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, were both destroyed on the same day. They were both destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Okay, but it's not so simple, because some of the people who really think about this very deeply, they are divided. And some will tell you that the Ikur focus on Tisha B'Av is the Bayis Rishon, and others will say the Ikur focus on Tisha B'Av is the Bayis Sheni. Whatever be what it may, let's see now. We'll go jump into this. Psach Levanon de Losech, the Levanon, open up your doors. And we will see this can refer to the Beis HaMikdash. Very often, the word Levanon is a code word for the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is Levan. What does it mean, Levan? Levan, it atones, it whitens. When a person does an Avera, symbolically, it's as if he is soiled. He is dirty, he is dark, he is red, he is black. There are many different colors to describe sin. Torah is very colorful. Okay, Torah is very colorful. There are many different examples of color in the Torah. And even the Mizbeach itself, the Mizbeach had a gartel, the Chut HaSikra. The Chut HaSikra was bright red. If you think about it, if today we were told that we have to draw a line around the Mizbeach in order to separate between the upper portion and the lower portion, so that when it comes to bringing a korban, some of the korbanos you bring above lamala, and some of the korbanos, the blood of some of the korbanos should be applied to the Mizbeach on the lower portion. Mark, what color magic marker would you buy in Staples or online to use to make that line around the Mizbeach to demarcate the separate difference between Lamala and Lamata? I'm willing to bet you'll tell me black. Black is the standard color. It's pariv, it's not political, it's not, really shouldn't say black, is black really not political, right? Black is a one size fits all. In a Sefer Torah, the halacha is the ink must be black. If the ink is anything but black, then the Sefer Torah is pasul. So I would assume that if we did not know otherwise, if we need to make a mark on the Mizbeach to separate between the upper portion and the lower portion, by default we would select black. Yet, the halacha l'Moshe Sinai, red. Red. Why red? Red is a very... It's a bold color. It's a very, you don't see women today in shul wearing red, very bright red, hot pink. Okay, it's not a very popular color to come to shul wearing hot pink. Men also don't wear suits that are you don't see it too often. People coming to shul wearing a bright red suit. What's the pshat? I don't know. The Torah wanted that the color that separates the blood that goes lamal lamata should be red. Blood is red. Okay, the blood is red. Does this mean that it should blend in with the color of the blood? There must be something much deeper as why the color red is selected. This week's parasha, we're learning about the Tachash. The review of this, on the top of the Mishkan, what was the ceiling? I remember years ago, you know, yeah, Baruch Hashem live in a home. My parents were alive. My mother, and our roof, the roof, you know, it goes. It's time to get a new roof. Now, to put up a new roof today, do it the way you really should do it, to rip off the whole thing down, take off all the shingles, and take off the wood and start, can cost easily $30,000. Easy. Even more. So very few people have the money to do that. So what do? They just put another layer. They put another layer. It costs plenty of money also. It costs a few thousand dollars to put another layer of shingles on top. It'll last you a couple of more years. I'll buy you some time. Buy you whatever it'll buy you. So I remember my mother, she was the, what color, if we're going to put a new layer of shingles, what color? God surmised, whatever happened. The whole soul funny story, the roofer didn't listen. He bought whatever he wanted and he really messed everything up. But that's not the point. I looked into this and it's fascinating. There's a whole science as to what color is the best color for the shingles on your home. And you know, there is black. Black has the advantage that it absorbs heat. So in the winter time, it'll save you a couple of bucks on your heating bill, but in the summertime, you're gonna roast in the summertime. So if you primarily live, you're not home in the summer, you're only here in the winter, then that should influence your decision. If you are a snowbird and you go south for the winter and you're not home, then it would be ideal for you to get white, because white reflects light. And then in the wintertime, anyway, you're not home, who cares? In the summertime, you don't want to roast, you don't want to toast in your home, so you would get white. And then there's another issue, is that if it's dark, a dark color, it doesn't last as long because the heat, the intensity of the heat, it causes the material to wear out. Its lifetime is shorter when it's a darker color, because over the years, the heat eventually gets to the material and it affects it. Everything is a chachma. The color of a roof is a big chachma. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a very hot climate. You've noticed everything is white by design, because white reflects heat. In the Mishkan, you don't think this was an issue? What color should, they were in Saudi Arabia for 40 years. It's very hot out there. What color should the roof, the covering of the Mishkan, what coloring should it be? Should it be white, black, red? What should it be? What does it represent? And the answer is, the Torah told you the answer, Tachash. Elim, first it is Elim Me'odomim, red. Red, and also Tachash. Tachash was multicolored. A multicolored covering for the Mishkan. Why? Why couldn't it be black? Do you ever see a person come to shul with a multicolored hat? All of the yeshiva boys, they wear one color, black. Black. Okay, that's it. You don't see people wearing a multicolored hat. Tachash. Tachash, what color are your shoes? Black, white. You don't see people wearing multicolored shoes. Yet in the Midbar, the Mishkan was colored with a hide, Elim Me'odomim, red. And in addition, Tachash is multicolored. There must be something deeper as to the significance of having a covering, a multicolored object. Here we have now Pasuk Livonon, another color, one of the most important colors, and that is white. The Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the purpose is to bring atonement for the Jewish people, to take the color out of your body and to restore you to the purity of white. There's color, and then there is the absence of color. By the way, what is white? Is white a color? Here's a chakira. Is white a color, or is white the absence of color? Now, scientifically, white is the absence of color. Black is everything. Black absorbs light. Black includes within it all colors. Every single color, every single form of light of color is found inside black. White, scientifically, is basically the absence of color. Is that correct? Is that scientific fact? Is that the way halacha, the Torah, looks at white? Or does the Torah look at white as something positive? Not an absence of color, but a color. This is the color we want. It should represent something, not just an absence of color. So this is a chakira to think about. The Beis HaMikdash is called Livonon. Livonon comes from the word lavon. Chazal say it's malbin, it whitens the sins of the Jewish people. At face value, it would appear that the white represents the absence of color. Color represents sin, chet. It represents trouble. And the goal is to remove the color and bring the object to a state of no color. Or is the pshat levonon means, no, we want to, like Mark Twain, was it Mark Twain? Who was it? Who painted the white fence? I forgot my what? Tom Sawyer. Oy, gewalt. Chotossi. Tom Sawyer. I forgot my English Sawyer, literature. Yeah. Tom Sawyer. He had to paint the white fence. Is it the pshat white? It's something positive. You want to bring upon yourself whiteness. Okay, this is a chakira, but the simple understanding is that in halacha, white, it represents the absence of color. So here we have a plastic psach levanon de losach de
beis. Well, is it purity or the absence of impurity?
Right, that's the chakira. Look at going to a mikvah. There are many reasons why we go to a mikvah. The prime mikvah, the only time. Hi, 1 second, Rabbi Sai. Everything okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
Okay. I lost my train of thought. Okay, so we have here the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is called Livonon. Livonon is white, and the pasuk says Psach Livonon de Losecha. There's an inspection here. The fire department is here. I thought they were coming to take me away, to give me a ticket for not wearing a mask, even though I have my glass screen in front of me. But I don't know, they're doing an inspection, so they're walking around over here, checking out the place. That's why I got a little bit distracted. Okay, any event, Psach Levanon, I guess they're looking at the sun over here. The sun over here says, occupancy by more than 94 persons is dangerous and lawful. I don't see your 94 people. Social distancing has solved that problem. In any event, the pasuk over here says that the pasuk is instructing the Beis HaMikdash to open your doors. And in fact, we're going from this is one of the miracles that happened. This is one of the signs, the simanim, that the churban was coming, when every single day the doors would open on their own every single night. They closed the doors. They locked the doors. And in the morning, the Kohen would come early, they would open up the doors. And towards right before the era, I forgot the exact, we'll see them first in a moment, right before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, miraculously, for a period of time, every single morning the doors opened up on their own as a way of saying, enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, come, come, enter. We're inviting you to come into this makom to destroy it. So Psach Levanon Blasech, open up your doors, V'soichal Eish Ba'arozecha, and may the fire consume your cedars, your wood, your the wood of the Mikdash was primarily made from Erez, cedar wood. Pasik Beis, Halel Beroish Ki Nafal Erez. Beroish is another type of wood. There are different types of wood that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. Beroish, a certain type of wood, you shall wail. Ki Nafal Erez. Now, Beroish appears to be a very weak, a very vulnerable type of wood, which is easily affected by heat. If there's a little spark, it can easily burn. Whereas Erez does not take the fire very quickly. Erez, to burn cedar, you have to apply heat for a prolonged period of time in order for it to catch. Beroish is a type of wood which catches fire very quickly. So
well,
the
that's interesting, because the Beroish also symbolized Mordechai.
Mordechai was there's a medicine. Yale Hadas. Okay, so it's interesting that Mordechai, maybe that tries to show the greatness of the miracle, that even though Mordechai was very vulnerable, he prevailed. He overcame all of his limitations. And here there's a Kal V'Chomer, which is very popular. If the Erez went down in flames, what left is there for the thorns? If we witness the great people can easily be destroyed, they can be overcome. So the weak people, the people, the ordinary people, how much more so are they vulnerable and are in danger of being destroyed? So here the pasuk over here says that Halel Verosh Ki Nafal Eres, the Verosh, this wood which is vulnerable, should wail and mourn and cry because it looks at the Eres and it looks, oh my gosh. If the Erez, the mighty, powerful Erez, which is fireproof, if it was destroyed, then there's no chance. I don't stand a chance. How much more so is it just a matter of time until I am consumed? Asher Adirim Shudadu. The mighty have plundered the Beis HaMikdash. The Adir in this context means Nebuchadnezzar. It refers to the Romans. The Romans, Titus, the Caesar, the Caesar, Titus. They, Aspasianus, these people, they have plundered the Bayis Sheni, Helilu Aloine Voshon, another type of wood, the Aloni, the trees of Voshon, Ki Yar Habotzir, because the forest Habotzir, in this context, the word Botzir means the strong, the Mivtzar. The Yar Habotzir is a term here that we're using to refer to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is made up of a lot of wood. And all of the wood together is like a forest. It's a forest, and the Yar, and it's not just an ordinary forest, it's a forest that is a stronghold. It's a fortress. The word Botzir comes from the word a Mivtzar. Okay, it's a Mivtzar. It is a Mivtzar fortress. The entire Beis HaMikdash is about to be destroyed. Pasuk Gimel, Kol Yililas Harayim. Listen to the sound of the crying of the shepherds. Ki Shudda Adartam. Their glory, their pride and joy, the Beis HaMikdash is plundered. Kol Shagas Kefirim. Due to the sound, the roar of the lions, this refers to the enemy, to Titus, the Romans, Ki Shudad Goin HaYarden, it has been plundered, the pride of the Yarden. What is the pride of the Yarden? It is the Beis HaMikdash, another term, the Beis HaMikdash, we're calling here in this context, it's an interesting term we don't have before, that on the other side of the Yarden, let's say you go to Eretz Yisrael, what should I go see? What's the big tourist attraction? You go to the Caribbeans. What's there to see there? You go to Spain, you go to Italy, you go to any country. It's, if you're going to this country, this is where you have to go. If you're going to Borough Park, where do you go? You go to pizza store. This is the Goyin Borough Park. What's the name of the pizza store they're called? Amnon Pizza. You're going to Borough Park.
13th
you got to go to Amnon Pizza. That's the hallmark. You're going to Flatbush, pizza time. That's where you go. If you're going, you're traveling 3,000 miles to go to Flatbush, you got to go to pizza time. This is the Goyin of Flatbush.
What is pizza time?
And I haven't done no pizza. That's the place to go. We have to teach them some culture. We have to teach them.
Never heard of it. Of course, I don't go to Avenue J for any reason. So
ask Binyamin. Call ask Binyamin. He'll tell you. Ask him what's the best pizza store in Flatbush. They might call Benny's in Avenue N. Avenue M. They say that Benny's.
Yeah, he'll know.
Benny's. Benny's in Avenue M. Maybe that's better. This is you coming to this city. Oh, this is where you gotta go. This is the place to go. Because I'm just joking around with you. You know, obviously, you go to a place, you go to the shuls, you go to the yeshivas. What's the goyin of a particular neighborhood? So in Eretz Yisrael, on the west side of the Yarden, which is the major portion of Eretz Yisrael, what's the goyin? What is the place? What's the pride and joy of Eretz Yisrael? The Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so this is a new term that we've never heard of before. Let's learn something new today. A new term describing the Beis HaMikdash. We're used to calling it the Mikdash, the Mishkan. We call it the Levanon. That's very popular, the Levanon. Called the Ariel, the lion. The Beis HaMikdash is often called the Ariel, the lion. And here we have, and there are many other terms, okay? There are other terms to describe the Beis HaMikdash, but today we've learned a new term to add to your list of terms describing the Beis HaMikdash, the Goyin Yarden. If you're going to the west side of the Yarden, if you want to see something special, the pride and joy of the land is this makam called the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Goyin Yarden. Okay, now let's see the Mefarshim describing the section back to the Mitzvot Tzavos page on page 812. The pasuk says, "Pesach levanon d'lasech levanon yiduras hanavua hehi nemer al churban bayis sheni." The Mitzvah David he calls it as it is. He doesn't hide. This nevuah is describing the churban bayis sheni. So that means this nevuah was said to Klal Yisrael approximately 420 years in advance. Could you imagine someone coming to you today in shul? You know, you daven in shul. The people they make announcements. They come to collect. I'm here from Eretz Yisrael, I'm collecting for this organization, please be so kind. And can you imagine a guy comes to shul and says, Rabbi, I want to tell you what's going to happen in 420 years. I want to give you a play-by-play. Most people wouldn't be interested. Listen, 420 years, I'm not going to be here. This is not relevant for me. Have a nice day. But this is what he's doing. He's getting up in shul, Zechariah, and he's making an announcement and telling people, what's going to be in 420 years? Why did people even bother to listen? How is it recorded for us? It's an incredible thing how this came about, that it was recorded for us to listen to in hindsight, and the lessons to learn from this nevuah. Again, in the Tzudas of it says, "Nevuah hi nemer al churban bayis sheni ve'ama ata eretz Yisrael hakuya b'shem Levanon." I told you that it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's not incorrect. We'll see that in other commentators. But the Mitzvah stuff, it says the word Levanon refers to the entire Eretz Yisrael. Psach de l'sech l'man yikansu boho ivim. Open up your doors. The doors of Eretz Yisrael, open them up. Allow the enemy to enter. The Romans to enter. Next Mitzvah stuff, on the next page. What happened to the Mitzvah stuff? Here, one moment, please.
Page 815.
I got a little confused over 815. 815. ulefi shakara es eretz yisrael b'shem levanon himshel avdon hasarim l'sreifas arze ya'ar halavanon. The mitzvahs that was written over here, not like I told you the different parts, the wood of the Beis HaMikdash. He's saying something a little more of a metaphor, and is telling us that we're referring over here to the leaders. The leaders of the nation are going to be killed. They're going to be murdered. They're going to be exiled. If we're calling the Eretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael, the Levanon, which is the forest. So the leaders, the trees, the individual trees, the Ararozim, refer to the Talmidei Chachamim. Like we say in the Kinois, Arzei HaLevanon Adirei HaTorah. The Kinois, this would be a perfect, according to the Mishnah, we can fully understand where the Kalir, where he drew his words to write the Kina, possibly one of the most popular kins of Tisha B'Av. Arzei HaLevanon Adirei HaTorah, the Asara Harugei Malchus. Why are the Asara Harugei Malchus called the Arzei HaLevanon? Arzei HaLevanon Adirei HaTorah. In the Kina, the Kalir calls the Adirei, the mighty ones, the Talmidei Chachamim, who were the Asara Harugei Malchus, the Arzei, the cedars of the Levanon. Well, according to the Mitzudas David, the Kalir drew his words directly from this perek. Because this perek is critical. If you want to know kinois, this is the perek to study. Because this perek is discussing the Chumash Hasheni, and many of the piyutim, the kinois of Tisha B'Av, are drawing from the words that appear in this perek. And here is the first lesson. Here we are describing the Levanon and the Arzei HaLevanon. According to the Mitzudos is usually not original. Everything we know, we learn everything. Mitzudos is taken from other predecessors. Malakit. The Mitzudos primarily is a Malakit. He looked at the Rishonim, he looked at Rashi, he looked at the Radak, he looked at others, all the basic Rishonim, all the basic, maybe the Barbanel, who knows what he saw, and he selected what he felt to be the simplest.
I'm not going to throw anything out that comes for you.
And he selected the simplest interpretation, which fits into the pasuk, similar to what Rashi does in Chumash, where Rashi in Chumash says, I'm coming to take the perush which fits best into the pasuk. Sometimes the perush that fits best into the pasuk is symbolic, and sometimes it's literal. Depends. Whatever fits into the words better, that's what we're going to use as a translation. And I'm going to be inconsistent. Sometimes it's going to be pshat, literal. Sometimes it's just going to be a metaphor. Rashi was novel, because until Rashi came along, all of the Rishonim, the Parshonim who came before Rashi, were 100% consistent. And that means if you want to learn, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. What does that mean? Before a blind man, do not put a stumbling block. So according, if you want to learn that, to mean, take that literal, it means a person who's blind, he's legally blind. He's really blind. He's blind. Don't put a stone in front of him. That's what the pasuk means. If you're going to translate the pasuk like that, then every single pasuk in Chumash has to be translated literally, just like that. Of course, make sure you don't do anything, apikursis. Ayin tachas ayin, you can't do that, because that's a chazal. But everything has to be translated as much as possible, literally. Other Rishonim said no. If it says in the pasuk ayin tachas ayin, and it does not mean eye for an eye, it's a metaphor, means mammon. So when it says in the pasuk lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, we're not referring to someone who's blind. We're not referring, that's not what the pasuk is talking about. We're referring to a person who's naive, who is uneducated, who's not familiar with society, and you can just fadrei him. Don't go give him bad advice. Whoever told you the pasuk is talking about a blind man, who, just because it says the word iver doesn't mean blind. Iver means someone who's just not knowledgeable of the particular subject matter. The Rishonim that came before Rashi were 100% consistent in their understanding of the Torah. You got to pick a side. Either you're a Republican or a Democrat. There's no in-between. No in-between. Got to pick a side. Along came Rashi. He did something which was shocking for many people and was very controversial, where Rashi was a Malakit. He picked and chose. He said, Lebasi elu lefarish, I'm going to look at all of my predecessors. Some of them are very literal, some of them are more symbolic, a symbolic approach. I'm going to take the pshat that fits best into each individual pasuk. Many people did not like that. The Yekkes don't like that. The Yekkes like consistency. They don't like deviation, wavering, go from one thing to another thing. When you try to satisfy everyone, you satisfy nobody. Not Rashi's Perush and Chumash at the time was very controversial. It lacks a certain stamina. You got to be consistent. Okay, I'll give you the classic proof to this. Who was the one, who was it? I forgot the name of everything. I forgot everything. Is one of the Amorayim? He darshan every time it says the word S in the Torah. Every time it says the word S in the Torah.
Shimon ben Amsuni.
Shimon Amsuni. Thank you. He darshan the word S, and then Shimon it came Amsuni. One time. It came S Hashem Elokecha Tira. What could that possibly mean? What could that mean? There's nothing else to fear in this world other than Hashem. So, what did he do, Shimon ben Amsuni? What did he do? Everything that I said, my life work, out the window. I spent my whole life analyzing every single S to understand the depth of what it means, and I came up with a very deep understanding. And now that I come to the end of the Torah, S, Hashem, Elokecha Tira, and I realize there's no interpretation. The word S cannot possibly mean anything other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean? It goes to show that I was wrong. Everything that I've done my entire life is out the window. Why? So 99% of the times that it says the word S, it's coming to be Marbe. And one time, it's not Marbe. Who says you have to be consistent? Who says? Whoever told you? Torah allows itself. Here it means this, and here it means something else. Yet he made it clear as day, I give up, my life work is revoked. So what do you learn from that? That there is something to being consistent. If you want to take a pasuk and interpret it in a certain fashion, you have to follow that pattern consistently to the very, very end. And along came Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva just helped him. He asked the rabbis, Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva didn't go and Rabbi Akiva didn't say to him, listen, don't give up. You know, what you did was good and this. No, Rabbi Akiva also. That's right, you got to be consistent. And I'm just going to help you. I'm going to give you an interpretation so therefore it will save your life work. But you learn.
I wonder, though.
Yeah?
It occurred to me. I wonder what he did with the other Es Hashems.
Okay, there's a lot of discussion about that. There's a lot of interesting ideas to explain all that. But that the point is, he expressed a very powerful idea that when you darshan the Torah, you must be consistent. In the Gemara,
is that the same thing as the Perush stuff?
Yes. Why not? It's the same approach. You have another example. The Gemara talks about how do you darshan the Yud Gil Mishra Torah Nidreshes. There's something called a Klal Prat Uchlal, and there's something called a Ribui Miut V'Ribui. There are different principles. And the Gemara says clear as day, if you hold of klal prad uchlal, you do not hold of ribui miut ribui. It's one or the other. They have a different set of rules. They have a different set of rules with different conclusions. And you have to be consistent. You can't say, well, in this pasuk, we're going to use the principle of klal prad uchlal. And in this pasuk, we're going to use the principle of ribui miute viribui. You don't do that. You have to be consistent. So when it comes to a mefarish, until Rashi, people, the Mefarshim, were consistent in their parish of the Pasuk, which meant that sometimes their understanding of the Pasuk would be very bizarre to us. We would have a very difficult time understanding, how could you read the Pasuk like this? Why not learn the other way? It's symbolic. Ayin tachas ayin. It doesn't mean, how do you learn that Pasuk? According to those that take a very literal approach, they're in a lot of trouble. They have to really struggle over there to explain the literal translation of that pasuk, and it should not be a violation of going against the Messiah. Rashi had no problem with this. Rashi said, Elu v'elu. The Torah, when we're going to write a perush, we're going to put into the pasuk perush which fits which the fits the translation of the words, the simplest translation, even though it will result in an inconsistency as to how I look at the Torah. In modern times, who did the same thing, who was also was novel in this approach, the Chofetz Chaim, in the world of Halacha. In the world of Halacha, more often than not, it's either my way or the highway. There are different approaches to Halacha, and you can't satisfy all opinions. You take an approach, and that you go with it. The Mishnah Berurah in his parish, the study that no one ever did until his time, where he does over and over, like the words Lekayim Divrei Shneihem. He says we have a shiloh what to do. According to this mandam, according to these rishonim, you have to do this. According to these rishonim, you have to do this. You know what? Let's do something that no one ever did before. We'll do the mitzvah in a bizarre way, because by doing in this bizarre way, we're able to fulfill both opinions. Okay, I don't have on the tip of my tongue some examples for you, but if your grandparents would see the way you're doing some of the mitzvahs, they would look at you. What are you doing? What are you doing? So you'd say back, well, that's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Because our ancestors, they took an approach and they stuck with it. 100% pure. Oh, but if you're going to follow this approach, then according to other opinions, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. And if you follow the way those opinions tell you how to do a mitzvah, you're not going to fulfill the other opinions. There was the way people lived and viewed this world, black and white. You have to be consistent. You have to do something pure. And if you're going to be pure, you're right. You're not going to be able to satisfy everyone. You have to pick and choose. The Mishnah Berurah very often tells us to do things in a very unique way that we've never done before. Kedei lekayim divrei shneihem. In order to satisfy both opinions. And that requires doing things what would appear to be bizarre. That's just like that's very similar to what the Rashi does. Rashi looks at the pasuk. No, so in this pasuk we're going to do it like this, and this pasuk like this. It's true. It's inconsistent in my approach, my in the philosophy of how you look at the Torah. But it's okay. It's okay. We can handle it. It's a whole different way, a whole different approach to halacha and to understand psukim in Tanakh, the ability to be flexible in understanding things in different places differently. Now, going back to what we said over here in the Mitzudas David, we have over here, that's how we started with this over here, is that this pasuk is the source for the keynote of Arze Halavana Direi HaTorah. Where is the Kalir getting that from this pasuk? Because he's learning the pasuk the same way the Mitzudas David learned the pasuk. When it says here the word Levanon, Levanon in this context means Eretz Yisrael. Oh, but I'll show you many psukim in Tanakh where the word Levanon means the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so in those psukim, the word Levanon means the Beis HaMikdash. But in this pasuk, in Zechariah, Perek Yud Aleph, Levanon means Eretz Yisrael. Open your doors. Mean the defense force of Eretz Yisrael has been weakened and the enemy will penetrate. And who will they come to get first? The Arozim. If Levanon refers to Eretz Yisrael, in that context, who then would be the Arozim? The leaders. Who are the real leaders? The Talmidei Chachamim. They will be cut down. And that's exactly what happened in the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Asara Harugei Malchus. The first of the Asur Gemalchus was Rabbi Shimon, the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shimon was a Nasi, and Rabbi Yossi Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yossi, if not mistaken, is that correct? Rabbi Yossi. They were murdered, I think, approximately a month before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And then the other members of the Asara Harugei Malchus were murdered over the next 52 years. Some say even more, over the next 92 years. And even though we only make mention of 10, the experts who have analyzed the story of the Asura Gemalchus will tell you it's more like 23. There are 23 candidates to be the Asura Haruge Malchus. How do we know that? Because we have today on record 42 piyutim that were written reflecting the churban, the tzara of the Asura Haruge Malchus. And in these 42 piyutim that we have in our hands, the people, the individuals who are mentioned as being from the Asura Haruge Malchus are not the same. They're not the same 10 people. It's not the same cast of characters. And each piyut makes mention of different people, different names appear. So if you want to make a conglomerate of all of the Paitanim who reflected upon the Asura Haruge Malchus and made mention of who they were, and you put them all together in one group, it comes out, I think there are 23, something like that. 23 people who are the candidates who to be the Asura Haruge Malchus. We only focus on two of these 42 piyutim, the one that we recite on Tisha B'Av, and the one that we recite on Yom HaKippurim. On Tisha B'Av we recite Arze HaLavon Adir HaTorah, and on Yom HaKippurim we recite it. It'll remind me, how does it begin? I forgot everything. On Yom HaKippurim we have a different piyut. It's much more elaborate. Anyone remember how it starts? Or Mayevsky, how does it start, the piyut on Yom HaKippurim? I forgot. Okay, we have, it's a different piyut, and it's a bit more elaborate. And those pretty much have the same names. Actually, there are two that are missing. The one on Tishla, there are two that are missing. Okay, but over here, we right away learn about the piyut of Arze HaLavonon from the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos David. Halel B'Roish. Ato you. Ilon B'Roish. Asei Yilala. It is a certain variety of wood. You shall cry. Why? Ki o'erez nafal al yideh haruach ha'noishev. Ve'eich imkein tamoid ata mul haruach. If the mighty cedar, I told you when we started, it was burnt in the fire. That's not what the Mitzudas David says. He says that it came down in the wind. A harsh wind came and blew it down. If the eres fell down in the wind, so the deroish, that has much weaker roots, certainly does not stand a chance against this mighty wind. Return to Loimar. Return to Loimar. Hililu hamoin ha'am ki hasarim naflu v'eich tiskaimu atem. If the mighty has fallen down, certainly you don't stand a chance. Next, asher adirim shudadu. We explain the mighty ones have been plundered. Another variety of wood. Hagdelim b'Bashan, that grows in the region of Bashan. Hachalushim are weaker. Hachalushim me'ilone yar, they are from the weakest ones of the ilone yar. Heililu cry, ki yorad v'hushbal yar hechazok v'chof adav b'lashoynes. Poetic repetition. Pasik Yugimel Kol Yililas Haroyim Ritzan Lema Hine Yish Shama Kol Yilas Haroyim Alki Shududa. Mozam, the shepherds are crying, which means the leaders are crying because their forest has been plundered. Their might, Hey Milon Hayar Shayuchosim Mitzilam Ritzan Lema Manhige Ha'am Yililu Alki Nevdu Kahal Adosam Anche Ziroyam. Their people, the people, the citizens. The citizens of the nation are no longer. Kol shagas kefirim, Ritzon Elohim, Hinei Yishama kol shagas kefirim, Ki shudad v'nishchas goyin hayarden, Hu mokem mirbat tzarayos, K'mo shenemar. Okay, the cry of the kefirim, the sound of the roar of the kefirim, of the lions.
Ela Eskra.
Ela Eskra, thank you. Ela Eskra, thank you very much. Those are the only two that we really have today. Eila Eskra on Yom HaKippurim and Arze HaLevanon on Tisha B'Av. Okay, Gon Yarden, who mokem mirbat tzarayos, kibo shenemar, ke'arye yale migon ha'yarden, Ritzon Elohim b'nei ha'molochim yelilu, ki nechervu ar minoseyem. Now, I did not, the way I translated originally is not the way the Mitzvah Stavit does. what I said is not necessarily wrong. We'll see other mafarshim that say what I said. But he learns over here in his translation, Shagas Kefir means the kings, the Malchus. The cry, the Shagas here does not mean a roar of might. It means a crying sound. That's not the usual translation. Usually when you talk about the Shagas, a Shaga, it represents a roar of might, of power, of confidence. But in this context, the Mitzudas David learns is a chiddush, that the Shagas Kefirim is a cry of pain. And in this context, the Kefirim are the Malchus, the kingdom, the Nesiim. In the Bayis Sheni, there were no kings. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, the 420 years, there were no real kings. There was the Nasi. The Nasi occupied what would have been the Malchus. Who was the Nasi at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was the Nasi. And the Shagas Kefirim, those people in the family of Yehuda who were the leaders, they were crying in pain, witnessing the Churban of Klal Yisrael. So according to the Mitzudas David, So I told you before the word Goyin refers to the Beis Hamikdash. The Mitzudas David is not saying that. He learns this means Eretz Yisrael, basically Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Amalachim Yelilu Ki Nechrevu Arminosem means their palaces. He translates the word the Goyin Hayardin, their beautiful palaces, which I guess refers to their seat of Malchus. So let's review very quickly. Okay, rest of you, we're done in the two days. The first round, the first pass. These psukim, I'll read the psukim one. Pesach Levanon de la Secha. Zechariah is now foretelling the Churban Bayis Sheni. He's standing up in shul and saying, Rabbi Yisai, don't leave yet. I want to have something to say to you. I'm not asking you for money. I just want to let you know what's going to happen in 420 years from now. I'm a prophet. Let me give you a snapshot. And he says, in those days, the Levanon, Eretz Yisrael, its doors will open on its own. The defense forces of the land will crumble. And it will be as if Eretz Yisrael is calling for the Romans to enter and take over and destroy, plunder. The doors of the Levanon, open up your doors. V'soichal esh barazecha, and let the fire consume your cedars. Who are the cedars according to the Mitzudos? The Talmidei Chachamim, the leaders. The leaders. Halel Beroish, the second layer, the lower level of leadership, the lay leadership, okay, the lower level of leadership. Mourn Ki Nafal Erez. If the Erez has fallen, the mighty ones have fallen, what's left for you? Asher Adirim Shudad, why should you cry? Because you look at the mighty. If the mighty have fallen, then you certainly don't stand a chance. And the Mitzudas David says, how they fall, even though the Pasuk says fire, for some reason, the Mitzudas David says wind. That if the wind can come and knock down these cedars, who have very strong roots, certainly the wind will come and knock down you, whose roots in the earth is not as strong. Next, Helilu Alone Vashon. Again, these are all different types of leaders. He's not really telling us the details of exactly which form of leadership, which layer of leadership it refers to. Ki yarad yara habotzir. The botzir again means over here the fortress, the mivtzar, the forest, Eretz Yisrael, which is the fortress of the world, has fallen. Kol ililas harayim, another form of leadership, the shepherds. Ki shududa adartam, their glory, that means their followers. The adartam means their followers have been plundered. Kol Shagas Kefirim, these are the Malchus, the kings of the Jewish people. Ki Shudad Goin Hayardein, their palaces have been plundered. So according to the Mitzvah David, if you want to count how many types of leaders do we have in this nation, Atan Bayis Sheni, the Mitzvah David is very clear. Each word here refers to a different type of leader. One is the Erez, Next comes the Beroish. Next comes the Aloni Vashon. Next comes the Royim. And then comes the Shagas Kefirim. Five different branches of leadership have collapsed. It's interesting, you can go back in time by Shane, if you can trace exactly who these five branches of leadership that you can refer to. Look in the modern society today. If you would want to categorize, let's say amongst leaders, who are leaders? Let's say amongst the Jewish people. Everyone is different. You know, people who are tzionim, they'll say the prime minister. And then, you know, you're religious, so you have the rabbonim, the gedolei Yisrael, the rabbonim, the members of the Mo'etzes gedolei Yisrael. And then there's your local rabbi. And then there is your Rosh Hashiva. And then there is your councilman. And, you know, there are many different layers of leadership, and obviously over here, according to them, this is referring to all the different layers. Okay, let's go back over here to the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Aleph, Pesach Levon, Dol Secha. So Targum, right away, refers to Targum. It says, Targum, Yonason, Pasru Amamaya Tar Echoin. The nations will open up your gates. Okay, so far, pretty much standing on the Mitzvah David. Next, Pasuk Beis, Helel Barosh, Kinafal Erez, Shehu Godol Min Abarosh. Heililu hashultainim ki naflu hamalachim. The Rashi learns that the Erez refers to the kings, and therefore the shultainim, the rulers who are a lower level of authority, they shall mourn and cry, because if the king has been defeated, they don't stand a chance. Aloni Vashon, he has an old French word, Ramchol, you have a translation for us?
Yes. He calls it, it's hard to pronounce, but it's very similar in modern, French, it's Chene, Chenes, which is like the word chestnut, you know, oak, chestnut.
Yeah, oh, okay. Chestnut, so a certain type of wood. Is telling you what kind of wood this is. Ki yorad, ki nishbar v'doymeloi. Yorad means descended, which is just this homiletic. This is a metaphor which means that it has been broken. V'demeloi uvorad beredes ha-yoar. There is the same word. Uvorad means lashon of yurida, to come down. Bered. I'm sorry. Uvorad beredes ha-yoar. Uvorad, I think, is a play on the words. I'm not sure what it means over there, but it means over there, it means also descent, it means to be destroyed, destruction. Next, Yar HaBotzir, Yar HaMivtzar, Tekoif Karkaya. The word Botzir means the Mivtzar, same thing that the Mitzudas David said, and here it says, this: the Mivtzar means the Tekoif Karkaya, the might of the city, of the metropolis.
A strong walled city.
The Tekoif Karkai, the strong walled cities have been defeated. Pasuk Gimel, Harayim, Hamalachim, the kings. Okay, didn't he say the kings before? The Eres, some repetition over here. Adartam, Tifartam, their glory, Shagas Kefirim, Yivku Hason, they shall cry. Kishudad, Gonayardin, Shulmokam, Hakefirim, Boharayois, their habitat. Now, here comes an important part of Rashi. V'Rabbi Seinu, Perishu, Psach, Levon, Delosecha, Shalchur, Bayesheni, Nisnabi, Hanavi. So here, I mean, this is what the Mitzvah Stav said in the very beginning, and Rashi now is first saying this now, after translating the words for us, that this entire section refers to Chur, Bayesheni. V'arboim Shana, this is what we started with today. 40 years, you can read these words literally, 40 years before the Chur, Bayesheni. V'arboim Shana, Koyim, Shchur, Bayesheni, Dalso, Sahichel, Niftocha, Smealehen. The doors of the Beis HaMikdash would miraculously open on their own. We know that everything that you've learned, Masechta Tamid, Masechta Yoma, every single day, when the day was over, the Levium locked the doors. It was a procedure, there was a ceremony. The doors of the Mikdash were closed, of the Heichol and the other various gates, and there were keys, there was an entire process, there was a ceremony of closing the doors. And early in the morning, there was another ceremony of opening the gates of the Beis HaMikdash of the Heichal. And during these last 40 years, the doors opened on their own as a sign, a wake-up call to Klal Yisrael, if you don't behave yourself, the enemy will come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Goar bohen Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shouted at the doors, Omar loy, Heichal Heichal, ad mosai ata mavis es atzmecha. Why are you terrifying yourself? Now, this is a euphemism. He's not saying yourself, us. Why are you terrifying us? He didn't want to say the word us. He didn't want al tiftach pel sadan. He did not want to say, why, how long will you terrify us? So he said, how long will you terrify yourself? We know this already. We know this. You don't have to rub it in. Uchvar nisnabi alecha Zechariah ben Idoi. Zechariah ben Idoi already gave the prophecy. Pesach levanon de losecha. Okay, so one thing that we take out of this Rashi is where Rashi differs with the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David told us that this entire pasuk is referring not to the Beis HaMikdash, it's referring to Eretz Yisrael. And the doors of the Levanon refer to the gates of Eretz Yisrael. The defense forces of the land will crumble and collapse. Rashi is telling us, no, the word Levanon refers to the Beis HaMikdash, as we started with today, and the doors refers literally to the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal, which we know as a fact, historical fact, 40 years before the Churban Sheni, miraculously opened up every single day in order to terrify Klal Yisrael that the Churban is coming due to Shuvah. And then we learned something very interesting, a lesson in life, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to the doors, you don't got to rub it in. We know this already. The writing is on the wall. And, you know, it's very interesting. The thing about it, there are a lot of things in life that are going downhill. Let's say you have a certain neighborhoods. They're going downhill. Everyone is leaving. Everyone is leaving. Shuls are struggling to survive. You know, it's hard to pay the bills. You don't have members. So, okay. That's the reality. That's life. You don't have to rub it in. You don't have to speak about it. You don't have to write articles about it and showcase. Look at this neighborhood. This neighborhood is gonna be a ghost town in a couple of years. Okay, we know that already. Thank you very much for that wonderful insight. We know that. We deal with it every day. I'm not talking about Flavish Chash, I'm talking about just in general. I'm just giving you a theoretical example. A theoretical example. Okay, we know that. We know the yeshivas can't fill up the classes and the tuition, there's not enough tuition to pay the rebbeim and there's not this. We know that. You don't have to write an article in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and rub it in. So you'll say, no, you have to rub it in. You have to report the news. This is news. Look at this Gemara. And what is the Gemara telling us? The Beis HaMikdash was heading south. It was all downhill. Klal Yisrael was on a steep decline. And it was inevitable. It was inevitable that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And the doors every single day opened up wide on their own. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, excuse me, this is not proper behavior. It's not correct. You don't have to rub it in. Heichal, heichal. Ad mosai, ata mavis es atzmecha. Why are you terrifying us? What is there to gain by scaring us? The inevitable. Yodeani, I know. We know this. It's a pasuk. The pasuk says doors open up and allow the enemy to enter. We know this. You have to remind us. In other words, he's saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when the pasuk says doors open up, it means on the very last day, on Tisha B'Av. All the pasuk says, the very end, on Tisha B'Av, one day, the doors will open up and allow titos to enter. So until that day happens, go outside and have a cigarette and a cup of coffee and leave me alone. You don't have to rub it in for 40 years and open up the doors every single day to practice for that very last day when you're going to open up the doors for titos. The pasuk says, open up your doors, allow the enemy to enter. So good. On Tisha B'Av, at the end of 420 years, you'll do just that. But for 40 years in advance, we do not need a dress rehearsal to terrify us. This is of no benefit. That's a Musa Haskell in life. You are not to rub in what anyway we all know deep down to be inevitable in some very difficult situations that we deal with all the time. All right, what time is it now? Time is up. We did the Rashis, and we did the Mitzudais, and we did a little Drush. So now we'll take a short break, and then what we're going to do today, we'll do a very, I think it's a very important share today. We're going to learn today about eating. This is very important. We have discussed something very, very important, the how to eat on Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos. What are you going to do this year, Habolin L'Toiva, Shabbos, Erev Pesach? Are you going to eat chametz? Are you going to eat matzah? Are you going to eat egg matzah? Are you going to eat special matzah that was baked with the kavana that it should not be kosher for the Seder? Are you going to cook matzah and eat cooked matzah? How are you going to eat the matzah at your table? Are you going to bench? It's a very complicated procedure, and one thing I can tell you in advance, whatever you do is no good. Whatever you do, there is no perfect solution, no matter how you cut it. Okay, we'll come back in a couple of seconds, in a few moments.